And you're doing such an excellent job. I mean, you know, there's been songs over the years that, you know, and this is off the script, off the interview, I guess. You're like I told you in person too. I mean, your songs have always found a way to hit me in a strange place. You know, songs like Deja Vu from I mean, they, you know, there's just pieces. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's primal. I don't know what it is, but
there could be something. I think that also with the melody of To a Close, mm-hmm. and the instrumental version, which is She Moves in Memories, mm-hmm. A certain amount of that was dreamt. I was having a dream one night, as I do from time to time, and something musical came into it, and when I woke up, I wrote it down, and I was watching a band performing on stage, and they were doing this thing. It sounded like the Everly Brothers, but there was a little bit of cello in there, a little bit of violin. It was very saccharine sweet, and fights were breaking out in the audience. Some people loved it, some people hated it, and I thought, this has to be good. It reminds me of the days when very early days touring the States and Canada, and we were supporting Lou Reed, Genesis.
Right, right.
And you had the Genesis supporters. I remember playing Massey Hall in Toronto. Fights breaking out in the audience between, you know, the people who wanted to see Lou Reed and the people who wanted to see Genesis.
Yeah.
I think, you know, music doesn't always bring people together. It divides people.
Yes, yes.
Creates heated debate and argument. But if something polarizes people to that degree, then it's got to be good.
Yeah. Speaking of live, you just, at the end of last year, you finished a tour in Japan with the the acoustic shows, if I'm correct. Yeah. And now you've got some more dates coming up in March. You're going to be in Italy for four dates, as far as we know. You're going to be in Belluno on the 21st of March, also in Pisa on the 22nd, Rome on the 23rd of March, and Savona on the 24th of March.
Yep.
And
me and Russell Crowe in Rome, of course.
Right.
Wow. Actually, it's just going to be an acoustic guitar. It'll be an acoustic trio show.
That's awesome.
There won't be any blood and guts, no thunder. It'll I will be taking peace to the Romans. But, you know, the funny thing is, they usually make so much noise that I'll probably be thrashing the thing, saying, quiet down there. But I love touring Italy, of course. You know, it's such an extraordinary place. You know,
well, the Italians,
it's a visit to Italy with a gig thrown in.
Yeah,
other places,
yeah.
A bit like the gig is the most important thing, and meanwhile, you know, there's the country, but with Italy, there's always something else going on that's
and the Italians have always loved you.
Important.
They've always loved you, even from your days
in
Genesis. Yeah,
that's been great. They were great supporters. Way back in the early days, you know, we were able to do stadiums there when we were doing clubs in the rest of the world. So. For some reason, it seemed to catch the Italian imagination.
Yeah. Now, what about full band tour? Is that in the horizon or no?
Well, you know, I'm always hoping that something like that will happen. But meanwhile, the response has been so strong to the acoustic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy doing them. They're both different things.
Two totally different things.
Yeah, I always think, you know, with the electric shows, it's more of a production, a number crunching exercise, and it's a less portable show.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole sort of taking the circus on the road aspect. It's nice to do both. I get great pleasure from both.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, which we forgot to talk about when we had you on for the Metamorpheus release. Mm-hmm. The remasters, finally,
yeah.
they're finally, and I mean, Steve, when I tell you personally, I mean, the sound and some of the bonus tracks available, it's great stuff. I mean, was it time to do those? Was it?
Well, you know, there have been Voyage of the Acolyte, Please Don't Touch, Spectral Mornings, and now, just recently, we did Cured and Highly Strung.
Yes.
And I don't know if they're out yet.
I think they're just about to be.
States. They're just out here. So, it was great to go back to the early stuff.
Yeah.
I particularly enjoyed doing the bonus tracks, of course, because you get that view backstage of things that perhaps didn't make it onto the album at the time, or ended up on B-sides of singles, but, you know, stuff like a live version of Air Conditioned Nightmare, you know, yeah. at Reading Festival with a huge crowd going right. bananas for it. So that gives me a thrill every time I hear it. And also, particularly Spectral Warnings, funnily enough, I think the remastering process really beefed that up tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
And, we widened the stereo, just gave it some sparkle.
You can hear
multi-band it. Multi-band compression. And that worked wonderfully also with Voyage of the Acolyte, which I think benefited tremendously from stereo widening and the fact that the CD was done from the original master, which had been lost for a while. And then also there was another tape which turned up in a shed that my father owned. And it was a great long version of Shadow of the Hierophant,
yes,
play out, which
yes.
went on forever and ever and ever. And the drums were much louder, as they perhaps were intended to be. I was a bit shy on the mix of the drums with the original, but you can hear, you know, Phil going for it ad infinitum, and it's a great long sort of
I love it
take. And I absolutely loved it at the time. Of course, now I think, well, the passing of time, perhaps I wouldn't have done something like that. But
right.
for the people that are moved by that and are attracted to that kind of thing, you know, where you've got a small group being an orchestra, being a choir, being all those things, you know, stuff at the fingertips of the keyboard player.
Yeah.
Great fun to do. So I'm very proud of that material, and I love what the remasters have done for it. So
yeah, and like you said, you know, when you made mention on the broadening of the sound, especially on Spectral Warnings, which the album
that
is
particularly,
yeah, but it's such a great, great album. I mean, we wouldn't close out our Gagliardi Archives radio program with Spectral Warnings every week if we didn't think that was, you know, sonically now one of the best of the remasters. And it's
yes, it's funny. The moment that Every Day kicks in, you know, the power of the riff, even when I hear it on small speakers, where I keep thinking, my God, I must have turned this up, you know. It just comes blasting in, and you can feel that it was a band that was happy to be doing what they were doing at that time.
Yeah.
It's got sunshine all over it, which is strange considering it was recorded in Holland when lakes were frozen and it was 16 degrees below zero. And,
yeah, yeah. Brutal.
It was actually very cold and brutal, but the atmosphere surrounding the album and the project was so good.
Yeah. Now, of course, you recently came out with the statement, you know, now with the Genesis reunion, you know, more or less you said, you know, well, Peter was busy and that's why I'm not doing it either. So,
right,
you
yeah.
know, now is the door still open for a possibility down the road?
Well, you know, I was approached along with Peter to, you know, reform the five piece. So that was going to be, you know, Peter Gabriel, myself, Tony Banks, Mike Rutherford, Phil Collins. And it looked like that was going to be a goer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hoping Pete was going to come back to us with a positive. I think he spent some time deliberating about this. And I got the sense from the kind of interviews that he was doing that he felt maybe his time in Genesis was past. And I can understand that, respect that, and that's fine. You know, at some point it might be possible, but I think realistically it's probably either the five piece or the three piece that divides into two separate eras.
Yeah.
There was two or three albums that I did with the band, two studio albums.
Well, that's what I wanted.
We were a four piece, of course.
That's what I wanted.
And the funny thing is, when I was talking to Tony Banks about this, he said that was the era that he felt most drawn to musically.
Yes.
And it looked like, perhaps, you know, that and that was a possibility. I can only push so hard from my side, you know. Obviously one hopes that at some point there'll be a five piece, but you know, meanwhile life moves on, and I love working with the people that I've been working with. And so it's quite interesting. I was listening to my friend Brian May playing with Queen and Paul Rogers singing the lead part. Been listening to that the past couple of days, thinking
wow.
what a fine job he did. I knew Roger.
Yeah.
Paul Rodgers and Brian. I worked with Brian on a couple of things, and that was always great fun, of course.
You know? Oh, yeah.
But, you know, besides Genesis, you know, a lot of great people I work with. Richie Havens.
Of course.
Wonderful. You know, work with the guys from Kansas.
Kansas.
So many great people. Randy Crawford, who became a huge star after Please Don't Touch, in her own right. Well, certainly over in Europe and street life, you know, the whole thing with the Crusaders.
Yeah.
And so it's been great working with all the other people since then, great orchestras I work with.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Yehudi Menuhin pick up on my work was a great buzz.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not bad if you look back over the course of a life and you realize that John Lennon was listening to what we were doing.
Loved
it. Proxy, what I was doing back in 1973, was selling them by the pound.
And he loved it.
Yehudi Menuhin listening to Please Don't Touch and liking that. And the thing is, you know, those two guys had a fight on TV. but, you know, somewhere along the way, what I was doing and what the band was doing united them, perhaps. And there was some kind of core agreement about something. So I've always felt that there were two, you know, opposite ends of the music spectrum, but I've always tried to twin them and said, you know, there is somewhere, you know, there is a middle road, which is not just a capitulation. It's not just a compromise.
Right.
It can be passionate.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that I thought it was great, first and foremost, that there was dialogue and that you guys were, you know, actually considering it. You were thinking about doing it. And
of course.
And you know, you said, you know, about the whole thing, you know, with Peter. I mean, me personally, you know, I agree with you and Tony. To me, the best, and I'm a huge Genesis fan personally, but
right.
But from, you know, 1976 to 1977, I mean, the albums that span that era, I mean, to me, they were the finest hours, in my opinion. And I love Peter Gabriel, but they were, to me, the finest. Trick of the Tail is my favorite album of all time. So
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I met Chris Squires, funnily enough, when we were doing GTR, and we were playing L.A., Steve Howe and I. And he said to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think the Trick of the Tail was Genesis' best album. And I said, it's one that I certainly enjoyed, but when you're part of it, there are a lot of things that feel good. I was very fond of selling them by the pound. I think there were great moments on all the albums, at Wind and Wuthering, a lot of the 5.1 versions of these things.
Yeah.
Sounds very good indeed. I think what I've heard recently of Trick of the Tail and Wind and Wuthering sounds very good in 5.1 surround. If you happen to be blessed with one of those systems,
yeah,
it's worth the
it's worth the sound. Yeah,
it's worth the sound. Yeah.
You also have a DVD, by the way, the German Musikladen, performed in '78 in November.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You had your hand on this one here to put this together, or?
Well, you know, that was just, you know, in filmed in the way that they did in those days. You know, it was a TV studio, fixed camera. You know, so if you wanted movement, there was no Lumicrane swinging about. You know, the act had to bob up and down or do something. So, in the nature of the way things were filmed then, it's got a more pedestrian kind of look to it. But there's energy coming out of the music and the players. So. It's rough and ready. It's as we did it. I don't think there's a single overdub on it. You know, it's all. This is it. This is how it was in those days, and it's honest. You know, it's all those things. It's me through a couple of small amps with a fuzz box and an Echoplex, and that's how we did it in those days. In a volume pedal and an old Les Paul.
Very easy.
You know. Not so much. Not too many props.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're online tonight, you can visit Steve's excellent website at stevehackett.com. And once again, the brand new CD is called Wild Orchids. It comes to us from the Inside Out music label, along with Camino Records in the UK. Steve, what's your personal favorite off this album?
Off of Wild Orchids?
Yeah.
Well, now that would be hard to say. I don't know. I've got probably the track that I didn't play on at all, which would be She Moves in Memories.
Okay.
But, you know, I enjoy that, just sitting back, seeing what the orchestra could do without me doing anything.
Yeah.
So you feel as though you're there in spirit, but you're not there in body. And that's a great feeling, I think, that every composer gets at some point in their life when the band that's playing it is doing it right.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm very fond of well, the slightly burlesque quality of Wolf work.
Yeah, okay.
And Dark Knight in Toy Town, fond of that.
Yeah.
I like it all, or I wouldn't have done it. Now, I'm trying to think. Waters of the Wild I enjoy because it's such a nod to the 60s in a way, such an obvious thing, and then it goes really like a Turkish band right at the end.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing that.
It's a great album, Steve, and I understand your point on the She Moves in Memories. To hear an orchestra play what was in your head, you
that's
know,
right.
It,
yeah.
It's got to be a special feeling.
It is a special feeling. You know, yeah, you know, it does feel like. Who was it who described this? I think it was Gary Brooker who was talking about orchestras. He said, "If you want it big, give it to the Angels." You know, I think that's how he saw orchestras, and I think, you know, yes, there is that. That aspect. So it's great when the Angels take over, I think.
Yeah, very much so. But I want to thank you again, Steve, for taking the time to chat with us. An excellent new CD. Once again, finishing.
Oh, thanks very much, Tom. Yeah, always a pleasure.
As always. And once again, finishing number 9 in the top 100 of some 1,500 releases. And hey, don't thank us. The listeners voted. Over 7,500
votes.
Well,
that's great.
So.
Thank you very much.
But we thank you again, Steve. And we know we're going to talk to you again. And we hope that
that'd be great.
We could see an acoustic show on this side of the
Yeah,
lake.
That would be nice.
But
look forward to it.
Yeah, we thank you again, Steve. And here's a track here from the brand new CD, Wild Orchids. And I'm going to play this one here called She Moves in Memories for you, Steve.